Channel One Right and the beginning of a remarkable tape. Channel One Right and beginning of the visit with Gorman Etheridge this late Saturday, the 8th of May, 1971. Channel One Right and the beginning of a remarkable tape. And this is the beginning of the first visit of Gorman with Suzanne and Carol and the English girl around the table. They had come in to report, and Gorman came in and took it over. Naturally, they yielded to him. This Channel One Right, beginning of the visit with Gorman this Saturday, late, the 8th of May, 1971. Channel One Right, and beginning of a remarkable tape. Beginning of the visit with Gorman this Saturday, late, the 8th of May, 1971.
Now I see why that old reprobate wouldn't come out of there.
Oh, wow.
Where you got him here?
Oh,
I don't
know.
Blame
I
him.
Think
I wouldn't
going.
Come out either.
Have a chair.
That's what I want to tell you. There's a floating crap game going on out in there. Is this it?
Oh, yeah.
So it might be, but we're not telling.
We've been collecting vegetables.
Collecting vegetables. Who's going to do the cooking? You?
Partly. We're going to split them up. Three ways.
For the cooking, huh? What you got out there? Turnips, mustard?
We got everything.
I see.
You can...
You hadn't gotten my letter.
No, Faye told me. She said...
Oh, I'm telling you. Oh, man.
You done... What have you done told me?
Huh?
That way you can read it, huh?
I went over to Trenton. And everybody else.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, well, go ahead. I'll tell you about that later. What are you talking about?
He's just talking about the vegetables that I'm going to cook.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They're going to fry onion.
Oh, but tell
well,
me.
That's the ones we just got. We didn't get them out of our garden. We got them over at Mr. Party's.
Party. It's got shown up garden over there. But don't say that in front of Jim, because he's done a good job. He hurt his feelings. He's not proud of that garden. And I'm going to tell you, I believe if Jim hadn't took a hold of it, I don't believe there'd have been nothing. You know, these eggheads, these old professors that don't know nothing but books, they will get to them for preachers.
Let me tell you now.
You see, I know that I'd get it right.
Let's leave that out of here.
All right.
We over at Cecil Pardee's, and he's truck farming.
Oh, he's truck farming.
And he'd really got the stuff.
I was going to tell it about my preacher buddy and my brother. See, my brother was a deacon.
Okay.
And they're going to have them a garden together.
Oh, really?
And I have to put these all in about the same category. See, they get it all started. Boy, when they get this spring seed catalog and these pretty pictures, and the spring sets in, the sap rises, they got more energy than you ever saw. So the sun gets hot, and they got to get out and cultivate, and start sweating. That's when they lose the interest. The doc takes all this serious. He takes all this serious.
I thought you. Let me tell you, let's leave the academic side out.
Yeah, he takes it all serious.
That's what we're doing out here, trying to get outside of the academic side. Now, if you want to come out here and pull us back, you see, that's the hardship on us.
That's the hardship on us.
Let me tell you. I thought your brother was a roughneck.
Which brother?
Over at Chieflin?
Chieflin? Oh.
Chieflin?
I'm the roughneck.
You
see, no, you talk about, now, Doc, you went over there, and you're going to learn a lot of things. It's like I trying to get a date with this girl one time, and she kept saying, now, you're not going to take her off and get her in the wrong crowd. Director, she says, oh, mother, hush, he is the wrong crowd. What are you talking about? I'm the black sheep. I'm the one. If you hear anything bad about that name over there, you can lay it to me.
Can't he farm and take care of himself?
Who, BT? My brother?
Yeah.
He does a good job of farming.
Yeah.
Well, he does a good job of it.
Well, how'd he get in with preaching?
Well, he's a deacon.
Well.
He's going to garden. See, now, he's got half a section of land in there. He's got some that's worth $1,000 an acre. And they grow the finest cattle you ever looked at, and the finest corn when they come, they buy all their vegetables.
Yeah.
I asked this lady at the country store on there over out in West Florida. She had dry lima beans, she had sweet potatoes, she had all this stuff, green vegetables. I said, who do you sell this to? I sell it to these farmers around you. There's nobody else around you.
There you are.
so that's what I say. See, people farming don't grow gardens.
Well, now, who is Cecil selling to?
He says people just drive up in his yard and ask for the stuff. He said he had cars in Illinois and Ohio and Idaho.
And lots of people from Jacksonville, too.
And Jacksonville. And then he said they come down there and they load up the back end of the car with vegetables and they ship their luggage home and they drive back with the vegetables.
All their vegetables.
And I guess he just sends them and tells them which row has what in it and lets them go out and pick it. I don't think he picks it all. I think he may pick some, but I think a lot of times he just sends them out.
Just let them pick their own.
He said, some lady said, well, how do you tell the difference between black-eyed peas and crowder peas? And he said, lady, if you don't know the difference, it won't matter.
Same anyway.
So
he
just sent them out, let them pick.
I don't know if he's got any little acre peas over there.
We went through a row by row and he didn't mention them, no. I could prepare the bed, he didn't mention them.
Black-eyed peas.
Yeah.
Crowder
some other kind of peas.
Speckled butter beans. White peas.
What's coming over there? Get them there for a little. You got a ham hock around here anywhere, Doc? A smoked ham hock? I don't mean
it. He loaded up us up with the snap beans. He let us pick them. And we walked about halfway down three rows and got a big old bucket about halfway full. Before we got hot.
Where you got all these things?
You picked your own?
Yeah.
Where's your trunk key?
Not his trunk. And he told us, he said, there's a meat market down the road, and you just go get about three ham hocks for each pot of beans and cook them up.
You going to make the cornbread?
Yeah, cornbread.
Do you know how to make cornbread? You do?
Yeah, I learned that early.
Oh, is that the new bride how they had the first cake, you know, she made the first cake. And he says, honey, it's delicious. You're using the same mix mother used. You make biscuits, you're good at it, huh? You pop that can and roll them out.
Did you get to talk to him any?
Well, yeah, we sat down there in the yard and he brought out three lawn chairs for us. And we just sat down there and he talked for about an hour, I guess, he and his wife.
Well, now, he has done everything. And he's actually done it.
Done a
few things. Who is that,
son? Cecil Pardee. He lives out there at the Shiloh Crossroads.
I know some parties, but I can't think.
Right south of Magnolia.
Has he ever made moonshine?
Didn't see a still, do you?
What do you mean, ever made?
No, he didn't talk much about that.
Oh, he didn't?
No, he talked about the garden and he told us. He was talking about the lady lived on the corner. And he talked about young people not living in town. He said they didn't have anything to do, but they had lots of energy, and so they had to get rid of it somewhere. The picture shows weren't enough. Now what they ought to do is come out here and work for a while.
Work off that energy.
And he talked about his garden. He didn't talk too much about what he's done.
No, I didn't.
Just the garden mostly.
He lived a rough life.
We gathered that.
Rough party.
He told a rough joke.
Oh, yeah. He don't do anything the easy way. They had watermelons in the back pasture there, and he did most of the work for Bill Wynn. Bill Wynn had them. And when it come time to put the fertilizer out, they brought the big trailer out there, trailer thing. And then they had a little 6-ton trailer, some such thing, to pull behind the tractor. And he loaded it right up to the rim. Yes, sir. And I told him, I said, Cecil, it ain't far from that field back there, up to here to where the fertilizer is. You don't have to bust an axle and beat down the ground so it'll never be the same again. But he did. And he got that old old rugged John Deere tractor. I don't know what you call it. But it's high. You need a stepladder to get up on it.
That big green one here?
Yeah.
Old two cylinder job.
Yeah.
Goes putt, putt, putt,
yeah.
Putt, putt, putt. They're strong.
Oh, they are. And you got to be strong to put the plow on it.
He had about four plows.
He
said they were sweeps.
Is that right? Sweeps, yeah. Mm-hmm. He just climbed light out there now. Yeah, but what he needs is a little light tractor like this Ford for that. He don't need that great.
He suggested y'all come out and work for him and work off that surface energy. I think he had a good idea.
Who's gonna get it, you know?
Gorman, I run into the most extraordinary people over there. Yes, I don't know all their names by any means. But now, Buck Johnson, I didn't get too much talk out of him. He was.
Well, he stayed pretty busy.
Yes. But while he is working on an old truck to get it through the inspection center, I went there next door.
It was a little restaurant?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the man that runs that, he's.
Who run that man? He changed his hand.
Some
right
young
there.
Fella.
Oh, I think that's one of those Osteen boys.
And let me see. We talked. I forget. And then the Ford tractor man drove up in front of Buck Johnson's. He had a great, big, huge, brand new Ford 3000 on it, delivering. And I talked to him about some of the little equipment that they turn in, you know. And he talked like they reworked it and could, you know, find something for you.
Yeah, they will. But what do you need with a tractor you got?
They stay broke down.
Yours stay broke down?
Yeah.
Ain't you got a pretty new rig out there? That may bog, I mean, they stay bogged down, don't you?
Well, they broke down.
Well,
if I had a good mechanic a hold of it for half a day, I think
they'd
do a lot better. And,
You don't bully out, yeah. He put it where it
can
run, stay running.
Hmm.
If you could have him seduce over Harrison to come out, yeah.
That's, yes, but he's not interested in
he ain't it. No, I mean, get him out here. You'd have to pay him, get him out here to work on your tractor. You'd have to seduce him.
You couldn't, yes. You'd have to have vegetables or something like that.
He might come for vegetables. I don't know. I might get bullied. What seems to be the trouble with it? Just, is it a major thing or a minor?
Well, the little one needs overhauling. And the big one is just wore out in several spots.
Several spots. That little tractor went down there? Little Ford with a 3-point hitch, needs overhauling.
Yeah. It got no compression, won't pull. Must put out fertilizer.
How many hours you got on? Did you buy it new?
No, it was a generation old. It had raised a family too when I got it.
This crop with it, but just cut. Tell us its oil capacity. How many quarts of oil does it hold?
I have no idea.
How often do you change it?
I don't change it very often. Well, I change it enough, but I don't know how often.
What's enough?
Well, it's not black. It
don't matter on the farm tractor. Change the oil in it and put you a couple of cans of STP in it. That'll improve your compression until you can get this crop made.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, the man I ran into there was, he was sitting at the...
You didn't run into old Cecil Rowell, did you?
No.
I always wished you had.
Where is he?
He couldn't have got over that.
Where is he?
He's retired. He runs up and down the streets trying to... He's my sidewalk superintendent. Cecil's. I don't know what old Cecil's worth. $500,000, I suppose.
You wouldn't know it?
No, he felt it. He wife, Bess, is a postmistress there, has been for years. Cecil is an automobile dealer and farmer and everything else. He's a mess. He can tell you all the local yokels gossip from the day they was born. I mean, the second and third generation, anything else. He'd aggravate me to death. I'd be a building something over there, and Cecil standing around. He and my daddy was good close friends. And he always talking about old times, what they was into. I said, "You mean what you was into, Cecil? You and my uncle." "Yeah, the uncle was hell, wasn't he?" I said, "Yeah, he was." He'd be old Irishman, you know, Irish German. Loved to fight. He's going to get drunk, you know, get up town and get drunk. And he'd always have to drive. There's a little three trail road going through this sawmill town. He'd get around. "What's the matter, El? Them trees ain't never been in that road before," he said. "He's so drunk, he'd see it, the trees."
When I was there just on Saturday?
Most of the time, they just get drunk on Saturday, on paydays. So he's paid off every Saturday. And, he gets pretty well. He and Cecil Rowell, W.J. Tate, Hope Colson, oh, Hope about dead. They'd all get drunk. If they didn't fight, they'd usually wind up out in Swanee Hammock somewhere. "I want you to go on down and meet Big Chris Anderson and sit down there. That's Cecil Rowell. I mean, go on. You should have went on Fanning Spring. You remember reading about the little girl drowned last year, who was a young teacher, Kathy, down at Miami, and they had the teacher's meeting down there?"
"Yes, at one of the hotels."
"At one of the hotels, yeah. Well, she lived there at Fanning. She's teaching at Grove City. Well, I guess the only time I was old Big Chris shook up was when that happened. Because he loved the little girl just about like it's one of his daughters. Kathy was a sweet thing, just as bubbling over with energy. As smart as a whip. But now, if you want to hear some wild tales, he can tell you. He was deputy sheriff in Dixie County."
"That's the man, yes.
You know, Chris,
yes,
Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah. And his brother Frank was sheriff for years. That's back when you bought the town.
Yeah.
And you hijacked your labor. You can still buy Dixie County. You can buy an election over there.
Yeah.
In fact, we put our senator, Ed Usher, in. It took $10,000 to get him in."
"Oh, it did.
They don't have old machines." "Yeah, it cost the other three counties $10,000 to put him in."
"Oh, I see. It's more than one county. That's
true." "Yeah. Well, now then, they combined. We got a lot of way in it now." No. It's
no.
Just in the senators.
Yeah.
See, we lost our senator. A lot of way county and got him. I lost my old buddy, Red Crow. He got beat. But now Chris will tell you some hair raisers. And there's another old fella down there. I don't know. I just met Stoney about 2 years ago. He's head of Castleton Farms. He's an old, I don't know how old Stoney is. He won't tell me. And Martin Stone, he...
Where'd they get him?
He come from Kentucky. He was one of the champion race drivers, you know, these
I
little
see.
Sulky carts. Back when he was coming up, but he had a wreck. And Stoney don't talk much about that, but he's a horse trainer there at Castleton.
Yeah. Well, now two of their blacksmiths was out here and got Cookie's two horses.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, two young fellas. They worked 3 days a week over at Castleton.
Worked 3 days a week over
there? Yeah, live in Gainesville. I said, "Why do you live in Gainesville?" They said they couldn't find a place to live in Trenton.
It's hard to find unless you rent one of those mobile homes.
I said, "Well, what's wrong with our trailer?" The little girl was with them, and she said she just didn't care for them.
Well, I don't particularly just like walking in one direction all the time. Well, I got caught up. I was living in Atlanta, and I was coming down to Jacksonville, and we'd had a party there at Waycross. If I'd had a Florida tag on my car, I wouldn't have got out of Georgia, but I got just over in Hilliard, see, and I had $100 and some change in my pocket, and a half a pint of whiskey, so it cost me my $100. I had to go to the Hilliard jail, and it was one of them long, narrow ones.
Was it nice in it?
No, Well, they waited till 4 hours was up, and they took $100. You got to stay 4 hours. They can't legally charge you with drunk unless they keep you 4 hours.
Oh.
They didn't have no blow in the bag test. Wouldn't have had no house. This is a gyp town.
Yeah.
You left for $2 and something, I think.
Was he good-natured about it?
Yeah, for anything for me. He said, I would buy you breakfast if I wasn't so broke. I says, I'll tell you where to go. Says, I ain't a go. Heard it before, yeah.
Now, where was that idiot?
That is an idiot.
No hard feelings.
He said, I want to bought that pint of whiskey. I said, well, I ain't drinking none of it yet. He says, you ain't going to. I don't want to keep it, too.
Oh, you lost some bones?
Lost my $100 and a pint of whiskey.
Oh, you could have sacrificed $100, you know?
At least give me a drink of it. Yeah. Kind of helped me bear my misery.
Oh, that's
rotten. Oh, me.
Now, this... You hadn't had much to say to this Stoner then.
Stoney? Oh, he's Stoney. We get wrangled every time we get together, but as I say, Stoney don't talk much about his background, except his horse training. He loves horses. Said he must be a mighty good trainer. He's strictly a horse man of up in high echelon.
They have harness horses over there.
Harness horses, that's right.
Oh, that'd be nice for a change, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you could afford them.
And not be
sitting
on one all the time.
Be sitting on one. But I don't want to ride that close to that horse's hoof. Because he's sitting right there and his feet just fly.
Well, it's not your hoof so much.
Well, that's the only thing going to knock your head off. I said when I got through.
Don't they have to hold on to the tail or something or tie it or something?
Yeah, they have to dock it and tie it.
Yeah.
Them horse races I think it's every Friday night over out from Jacksonville, Orange Race. You like horse racing.
Now this is Charlie Round?
Cecil Round.
Cecil Round.
Uh-huh. His brother Jack.
And
yeah, old Cecil will take up a lot of time because that's all he's got. And he does love to talk. And Chris Anderson, if you ever get over there, you and him go see old Chris. He's a great big fella.
Yeah.
Well,
now your uncle?
He's dead.
But they talk about
it. Oh, yeah. Talk about me too if you get them started. Don't do compliments.
Well, when I brought your name up, Buck just sort of.
He kind of eyed you.
Yeah.
He inspected your car though, didn't he? Did he say something about that thing leaking over there?
I waited till afterwards.
Till afterwards.
Yeah. I'll tell you who I run into. There's a man in the drugstore there, the pharmacy.
Roger.
He was sitting at one of those little ice cream tables with his hat on. And he just turning it around, licking it on all sides, ice cream cone.
Old man Rogers is there?
No.
I speak to say he.
And I'll tell you, I thought to myself, that's some of these fellas around here haven't got much, and he's just trying to make the best of that ice cream cone. But I went up, I was going to get a candy bar. But I saw that, and so I just got an ice cream cone too. She said 11 cents, 21 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she had 11 cents, so I just took that. And I started walking around the drugstore. And then I came to, I said, well, why in the world am I walking around the drugstore pricing things? I don't want to buy anything. Why don't I go over there where they're talking? So I ambled back on over there, and he had started talking then to the two women. They were young women who were at the fountain. And they were kind of sad looking. They didn't encourage him, tried not to, I thought. I didn't know what in the world he was talking about, but I heard the word protein.
Protein.
And I said, why? I said, you don't mean protein. And he turned. Just dropped those women and looked at me. Just looked like he'd been expecting me and surprised to see me. And we talked about protein in those ice cream cones for half an hour. Why, he makes them. he does it. He manufactures them.
Manufactures them, cool.
And he also sells them. I asked him what is his, what was his veat, the state of Florida, he said.
I wonder who
and
he did
run
into.
His name was Galbraith.
Who?
Galbraith. Uncle Jim Galbraith.
Old man Jim Galbraith.
And he sort of pushed his hat back and said, you see, I'm just 89.
89.
I said, you do that all yourself, and he went into that. But then he got into East Tennessee. He came to East Tennessee up around Clinton. I used to live up there, too. And his daddy used to had a 15-team farm right there where one of those dams is now. And he said he still couldn't see covering up that land. He said they never used fertilizer. It just flooded. And he'd grow most of everything get out. And Mr. Rogers come back over there then, and he spoke to him, so then I knew who Mr. Rogers was. And there was a pair of shears there, tongs, clippers, heavy things. And I said, what in the world do you use these for? And he used them for, you know, that's all they need, just some little something. And so we went up there and looked at his hardware. He got hardware in one corner. And I learned one thing, that you don't have to buy these little old axes that are on put on a handle. It's almost like a toothpick now. You can get a good one. But he says, I'd take a 6-pound axe. Because then when you let it down, it'll stay. That's been my experience with an axe. This little old light axe, you know, you can't get it in there. It'll bounce out. And he'd go and get me one, and he said if I got back over there Friday week, he'd have it for me. I don't know how I'm going to get back, but...
Chrysler won't run? What'd you care when you get inspected? That old red Chrysler?
Yeah.
Bud and Paste, that thing?
Why, he didn't even put that
fine.
I had a whole set of brand new tires on it.
Oh, did you?
Retreads.
Yeah, but what about your suspension? Is it all right?
Yeah.
What's your brake?
Buster had worked on that last 4 or 5
Who
months
did?
Ago. Buster.
Cookie?
No.
What's happened to Cookie?
He quit work as far as I can see.
Did he go out to university?
Yeah.
Driving him a truck?
Tractor yesterday.
Mm.
Tractor, huh?
Plowing up our front yard out there.
I don't know if that. Who's plowing up Tigard Hall?
Tigard Hall and in front of the library, and he was out there yesterday on the tractor, moving it out.
Old man Rogers. Now, what's he good for? He got a section of land?
Old man, which Rogers?
Pharmacy.
Oh, drugstore Rogers? He got some land. I don't know how much he's got. He come there some years ago. Rogers has had some controversy. He got tangled up with, he was selling too much coal syrup around, cherry coal, you know, with opium in it. And you have tricked me, cherry coal syrup, the best in the world. You got to sign for it now, though, like Paragard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they liked to heist his license, but the townspeople kind of got together and saved him, so he's been a pretty good feller since. Well, now, you know, back on when the old church-going ladies, they couldn't drink. They lambasted those folks what did, but they all had the rheumatism, so they'd have to take a lot of Peruna. Well, then some fella named LeBlanc, he come out with a new one. Let's see, what they call that, Hattie-Cole?
Yeah.
And they had to take a lot of Hattie-Cole. Well, 2 tablespoonfuls of that's equal to a good shot of the best booze. They eventually made him have to set it through to where he had to have a wine and beer license to sell that coal.
Oh,
yes, sir. So that cherry coal cough syrup, it's good.
Yeah,
but it's got a good bit of opium in it. It'll just soothe that coughing down, right? But if you take 3 or 4 good shots of it, it gives you a pretty good... pretty good little stimulated feeling there. A lot of those people was getting hooked on cherry coal. Brother Roger liked to got himself in trouble selling too much cherry coal syrup. So he straightened up. He's a pretty good fella. Kind of dry and hatchet feet.
Well, now, Mr. Gambus talked like it wasn't anything old man Rogers didn't know.
They ain't much old man Rogers don't know old man Gambus either, to give you them tell or Cecil Rowell. But you know, Doc, as I say, these people that think they know it all really bug us that do. Now, that's what...
Well, I'll tell you one thing. He knows about an axe.
Yeah, well.
I felt melancholy.
You did?
I have. I'd go to these stores and they'd have them axes there. There's no use taking them home.
Doc, who in the Sam Hill ever heard tell of buying an axe to use? You buy the axe for your wife to use. She can't handle no 6 and 7 pound axe. Faye can't handle no 7 pound axe. You ain't going to use that axe. She's going to have to use it.
Well, where I come from, the children always use the axe. Mm-hmm. I mean, on the kindling, you know.
Cut the kindling.
Yeah.
If it's you in Indian country now, you see, them Indians had a good thing going. And the white man had to come over here and mess it up. Had the squaws doing all the work, you know, and all they done was hunted a little bit and sat around the fire and drank fire water and talked big. And the women done the plowing and the hoeing and the ground the corn and skint what little bit to kill and done all the work. The men sat around the fire and done all the big talking.
You know, I have a feeling my troubles would be over if I just got to talk to any one of those fellas, old man Ryle or Galbraith, except old man Galbraith's been in this country since 1925.
Yeah, he's been around family since
come.
I can remember. Yeah, he had a big family.
Yeah.
I remember that old man off and on as far back as I can remember. He's been around there for years. He's a fixture.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He's
an old man.
There all the time.
Yeah, but he's lived around there around Trenton for years.
Well, now, this man lives in Tampa. The man with ice cream cones.
Oh, that may be another one.
That's another one. But he comes through there, and he got a brother up at...
up around Bell.
High Springs.
Oh, High Springs, yeah.
Mike Galbraith.
Mike Galbraith, yeah.
And, but now Cecil Rowell, and who else?
Old man Chris Anderson down there.
Yeah, he's down at
Tiefen. No, Fanning.
Well, any one of them would just
or
about...
Charlie Adkins, he can get you in that Jeep and ride you all over them woods around there.
Yeah. Any one of them... That's all I need.
Charlie didn't live what you'd call a very heavy Christian life.
Did they all play the chickens? What do they call it?
Play the...
You know, the cockfighting?
No, that bunch, they never did do that.
They didn't
around,
do that.
No, up around St. Augustine, and there's where you have your rooster fights.
I see.
That bunch played a lot of poker down on the river. They still play a lot of poker. The gambling end of it, but they run the bug quite extensively down there. They do everywhere they do here. They call it Cuba, Bolita, whatever. And they used to make a lot of moonshine in those woods down there. Like old Charlie. They had been pretty tight on him, and he had a pretty good operation. He'd moved it. He had one of those portable... He'd move it from creek to creek. You know, water is the limiting factor in making moonshine.
Sugar.
Now, they was getting the sugar. He was getting the sugar out of Cuba. That was kind of before
Castro. So they
Castro
had that pretty well.
Had that pretty well sewed up. He was getting a tractor trailer rig of sugar in every week, and he was carrying out a tractor trailer full of whiskey. Charlie wasn't no slouch. He was in it big. But he'd sent Rodney, his stiller, down with his big still, see, and they're going to set up at a new creek, at a new water hole, new pump. Well, they'd been pretty tight on him. They'd been using airplanes in there, my brother-in-law had. But he thought it was all over. They kind of got him. But he started out, he saw this little airplane buzzing around out there south of where he lived, you know, where we saw him out at the commissary at the office. He jumped in his car, wife's car. He was heading down there to cut Rod in the oil, see. Tell him to not set up that day. He was just a fly. He gets down there and cut the road patrolman, Washington, and stopped. See driver's license, he gave him the driver's license. Says, he was going pretty fast, Mr. Charlie. We're going to have to give you a ticket. Says, what do you mean going pretty fast? How fast was I going? Well, you was hitting 100 when we clocked you. How the hell you clocked me? And they're cleaned up. Is that what that thing is? Oh, hell, he said. Turn around and went back home. Give him $35 and turn around and went back. Well, give him $50 bill and don't keep change. Says, no, we can't do that, Mr. Charlie.
You know,
he is happy over the fact that one of the beverage boys played.
I think that's hilarious.
And they knew it.
No, they didn't know it. They didn't know what Charlie was at. He just says, oh, hell, and handed him a $50 bill and said, keep the change. Said, no, Mr. Charlie, we can't do that. I gave him back $15 and he went on back home. He didn't go ahead. Oh, Charlie,
I'm not an operator, you understand that, but I remember the first time I was observed by one of those planes up there, I didn't notice it. And there was a fertilizer truck out here, and he went across that flat down there. He didn't have a tread on his tires, he didn't have enough load or something, he didn't quite make it. Oh, he worked himself, spreader.
Oh, yeah.
He worked himself to death to get that thing out. He trying to think some way to do it. You know, a lot of these are rough fellas. They don't want to do it either way. He says, you can call the fire department. What do they call it? The fire service.
The fire service.
Tell him I forget what he said. Tell him. Well, anyhow, I done what he said. I come up here and called the tower there again. Said what I said, but somebody was stuck out here and had a little trouble. And they sent that little plane over. And what they did was telephone out there to Buster Mountain and make an opening telling me that some fella stuck over there by Miles' ranch.
Miles' ranch, and it's Miles himself.
Yeah. And I didn't hear about it. I didn't know what happened for some time. And Buster jumped me. He says, I looked around over there and I didn't see anybody. Of course, I was back in the field. And they didn't give the quad of it, you see. And when I found that out, I was really put out with
them. Did they pull your car out?
No, they didn't. He finally. We came right up here and sat and cussed and drank a little coffee. He said he found that if he just sort of, when he got in trouble like that, if he just sort of settled down a few minutes, some would come to him. And we went back there and used the same methods we were using before and got right.
Got it right. Yes.
But now, I have found that there's a whole lot better ways of getting out than that hard way they have. One of those little come-alongs, you see.
Mm-hmm.
All you need when you're stuck is just a little help, Gorman.
You got something up yonder, the hook you come along to.
Yeah. You can set a post or something.
I see, if you got a post out yonder. But where you stuck us out there that day on that tractor. No, we stuck in that Chrysler. They won't no post hook don't come along to. So we have to get. I believe you brought the tractor down there, did you?
Jim did.
Oh, Jim did.
I heard when he put it in second, it was boom. I can see all the cars. Heard that all the way up here.
I like time. Oh, I was carrying a little old girl's mail. They forgot to put the bridge across Santa Fe River up there. They're building it, but they didn't have no sign saying there wasn't no bridge up there. The fellow driving a dog. He's doing flat 100 when he saw there was no bridge across that river. Oh, man. I don't know how he is, but he got it stopped. Man, eventually, we were down a sandbank, and everybody was too scared to try to dig it out. Oh, eventually got it dug down to where the, you know, the, it was clear. It's sitting there almost straight down, and everybody get on the back bumper and hold it down, and I drive her down. But I turned it loose, it flipped over, it wouldn't hurt you, because no steel at all. But when you get off like that, Doc, you figure a way out right fast, because if you get caught, you're going to get killed. That's all it is, don't it? Somebody's daddy's going to shoot you.
Buck talks like you weren't doing the awnings now.
Yeah. Hey, Buck, that's what I said. I never let that fella down there know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Keep him guessing. No, I don't know. Damn it, with some investments.
Well, I told him the last time I heard you talk, you were in touch with the Atlanta finance people. I didn't know how you came out.
Well, they still don't want to come down here with no short-range financing.
Oh, I see.
No, they don't want to go nowhere with it. Discount rate went back up.
Yeah.
It come down 6%, but it went back up. Come down 5. Went back up to 7. That's hurt. How about, don't you want to put out a lot of your money in a 10-year mortgage?
Yeah.
You do, huh?
Is that what it takes?
They'll get you 10%.
Golly. Probably should do it.
But I need about $250,000.
Yeah. And just you need all of that. You need the whole thing.
Well, that'll be, you know, it'll take a couple of years to get all that out. That'll put us in business.
Well, how about that? Wouldn't that be pretty good? How about Cecil?
Cecil Rowell. Cecil Rowell owns half of Trenton, and he wouldn't give you $50 to see Jesus Christ walk across the aisle. He don't want to make no more money. Like old man Justice Williams, he don't want to make no more money. Says, if I do, I'll have to pay taxes, and I've done paid them all I ever want to pay. So they just...
Well, now, that's like the boy you said down at Williston, wasn't it?
Quite her. They still want to make money.
We drove along there, or was that Cheatland? Somewhere along there. I thought it was Williston. And they drove on the left there. And the boy said, you know, they're talking about improving the place. And he said,
oh, that's Cheatland.
Is that Cheatland?
Williston, the same way.
Same way.
Yeah, that's Hal Rutland, I don't know. He's a young fella, he's city councilman. His daddy and mama and the Peacock family. They own a big chunk. Well, I guess Laura and Peacock and the Rutland clan's worth a little over $1 million land and holdings. And hey, little old towns are dying. And that bunch wouldn't spend 15 cents to improve it. And it's naturally going to continue. But, you know, a trend is a funny thing. Once a trend starts, it continues. You take a ball team, it'll start get hit a losing streak. It'll continue to lose for no particular reason. If it hits a winning streak, it'll continue to win for no particular reason. That's true of life.
Yeah.
My contention's always been, if you got bad luck, the harder you work, the better your luck gets. But sometimes that isn't always true. But when a town starts a decline, unless something happens, unless you've got to modernize it, people have a tendency to move out and they don't support it.
Yeah.
And you take a little old appreciated town like Williston, Cross City, Chiefland, any of those little suburban towns, they'll continue to decline until they just completely dry up. There'll be nothing. Trenton. Trenton's a good example.
Yeah.
It's a thriving little community. Could be.
Could be.
But you look at those old dilapidated buildings and falling in, there's nobody's going to, but until somebody...
Well, the thing of this is they can't make any money. Nobody can make a living there. Now, what about that farmers exchange there?
That little farmers exchange, well, it's It's a co-op, and I know the one that's a branch of that. Which it is a branch of the one in Chiefland.
Oh, is it? Branch,
yeah.
Right.
They have my brother, and they big stockholders and that thing. But she's found two squats. She's going to plant them. That's Adam.
I'm going to have supper for me
no,
and you.
No,
and
no, no.
I got it.
Wait, it'll get through. I got it ready.
See,
I had to work to do it at Mickey Nokey.
Huh?
And I got through quick, and before they get back, oh, the preacher, I never heard that young fella preach. I'm going to, I don't know what kind of preacher. He's one of the best people I've ever known. He and my girl, Joyce's mother. And they're having some sort of big kadoo. And Dawn Hollifield, I don't know, you probably know Cecil Hollifield. He keeps all your IBM equipment up. And I just got Cecil out of the hospital. He had his gallbladder took out. So they're having some sort of breakdown for them, so they'll have supper cooked.
At Mickey
Nokey? No, at Gainesville. I had some work to do at Mickey Nokey, see, and I got through in time. Troy Blakely, you may know Troy. He wants to convert something he's got with an outfit in Atlanta into a more high yield. But,
I don't have any idea what you've been mumbling about over there.
See, I lost you.
Yes.
Well,
Troy's
company at Mickey Nokey. Now, he works, let's see, with a company that used to have profit sharing, like Sears Roebuck. They're discontinuing it. They're going to pay him a lump sum cash.
Yeah.
He's got some investments in an outfit in Atlanta. He wants to look at something to pay him a higher yield. So that's what I was doing with Troy, but his wife's either sick or something.
But you are in the finance business.
I've been in it for years and years, Doc. A little bit of everything. I do a lot of building, too, but as I say, that's what I say. I let Chiefland think that's my front. See, they think I'm in the Benny Pill business.
Yeah.
So I said to the truck, what do you know about a Benny Pill? Look at that. Oh, did she flip her whole card up where I got a glimpse? Yes, well, turn over, honey. You done exposed your old card. I know what.
I haven't heard that term either.
Benny Pills? Yeah. It's a Benzedrine thing. That's where it got its name.
Yeah.
You never heard of a West Coast turnaround?
No.
Well, these truck drivers can take one of those, go all the way to the West Coast, turn around, and come back, and never sleep. It's keeps you awake, pill. And then the Belita business, well, the sheriff's got that, so that's numbers racket. Do y'all don't sell numbers out that camp?
Mostly pills.
Mostly pills. Mostly pills.
Don't worry about the numbers.
Don't worry about it. If you hit that pay at 61, you know. Buy a number for a dollar. And if you win, you get $60. Well, they... Remember reading about J.C. Rain getting caught here a while back? Mr. Phil Fox and all those fellas. I've never seen one. I wouldn't know one if I see it. And I wouldn't know a Benny Pill if I see it. But I let them think what they will see.
Yeah.
Sit around there and they don't ever catch you working much.
Yeah.
You don't get up and go to work at 8 o'clock, knock off at 5.
Yeah.
And they wonder what the hell you do to make a living.
Yeah.
Don't owe nobody. In the little town, they used to say, when you live in a little town, it's very nice. You don't have much to do.
Yeah.
Your friends, your girlfriends especially, will spend your money for you. Your neighbors will tend to your business for you. That don't leave you much to do. You know?
Well, you stay in Chiefland just as much as you can get away with it. And then
I stay on the road a whole lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Leave town. Everybody figures I'm going to East Texas moonshine business. But there again, I wouldn't know a thumper from a Jimmy John.
I'm going to find out. I haven't given up yet.
Find out what?
Moonshine
business. Charlie will tell you how to get in.
Yeah.
He's put you in business.
Yeah.
If you won't set a still up out here. But I guarantee you, Tommy Dean will put you in jail. Tommy's
well,
rough.
This syrup, syrup making, you see, the skimming's off of that. You ought to throw them away, you see.
Well, that's pretty rough drinking. We used to drink that when we was kids going coon and possum hunting, you know,
you
at night. If you let that buck set, see, down at the bottom, all your sediment will rise to the top.
Yeah.
And it's ready to draw off then, so you got your hole below. You start at the bunghole first, and then as you draw it down, you keep drawing it. It's just as clear as any beer you ever saw.
Yeah.
got a good taste to it, and it'll get you just as drunk as, get you a whole lot drunker than Slits will, because it's got more authority to it. Now, you drink about a quart of that, you know, and you get out on a cold, frosty night, and your dogs are running around out there on a moonlight night. You can sit around a campfire. You can tell some of the biggest lies you ever heard.
Now, how'd the preacher get into that?
Oh, I was talking about the gardening. The preacher and my brother are putting the garden in.
No,
how?
At Meganope.
He didn't.
Well, up at Gainesville.
He didn't. Oh, that's a little bad. That's a little preacher. They're having the dinner at Trenton for a group. And then they all going to bring, at Wilcox, they all going to bring dinner back up here, see?
Oh.
And bring supper, I mean.
Oh.
And then there'll be a bunch stay down there that won't come, and there'll be several up here that I'm not invited, I'm requested to be there.
But he's a pretty nice little preacher?
I say I've never heard him preach. He's a nice man. He's a good man.
Yeah.
And a good neighbor. And he teaches school, really. He and his wife both. They teach in Trenton High School.
Oh,
and
see.
He preaches on the side. He runs a church along with it. He and Joyce's mother, she's the big wheel, and she works at the university up finance and accounting. It's that telephone you call in.
Yeah.
A bunch up there, Tigard Hall.
Well, that just about gets in the whole territory, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Now, did Joyce keep in touch with all those people you know?
She's down at Trenton. She's bringing them back.
Yeah.
The ones that's coming.
Well, does she knock around from one place to
another? No. She works from 8 to 5.
She just.
And I come by there every once in a while.
This particular time,
See, her mother lives at Wilcox. She's a deaconess in this church, and she's also in the upholstery business.
Her mother?
Mm-hmm. She's a rough character in herself, used to be, but she's a very staunch Christian now. She don't cuss, she don't smoke. She used to smoke more than I did. And she will gossip a little bit, though, roaming along.
Well, what else is it to talk about?
Well, that's what I was like my free preacher buddies back county years ago. They was out in the middle of a lake of fishing. There's a Baptist, a Methodist, and a Presbyterian out there. One of them says to the other, says, you know, we teach that you have to confess your shortcomings and sins before men, and, you know, we can't afford to do that according to our profession. We just can't do it, not out in the open, but I know we all got them, because we're human. I was just thinking, this is a pretty good time to do it. Right out here in the middle of this lake, sure can't nobody over here but us. The old Baptist preacher says, Brother John, I think you got a good idea, and I'm going to start first. That's because I've been having something that's gnawing on me for years, because I got one of the worst weaknesses I ever had in this women. Because you know these big meetings I'm supposed to go to and stay going a month at a time? I ain't going to no church meeting. I'm up at Jacksonville. And I have to stay to get it out of my system and come on back. The old Presbyterian preacher says, Brother John, that's bad, but I got one just as bad. Says, and it's whiskey. Says, you know these meetings that I go to, supposed to? I ain't going to no church meeting. I'm right up at Jacksonville, packed up in a hotel drunk. I got to stay there and get it out of my system and come on back. That little Presbyterian preacher, he's getting the oars up in his hand, you know, getting ready to go. He says, hold it now, Jim. We know you got a shortcoming, too. It's your turn. He says, boys, I have, and it's bad, and I want y'all to pray for me, and it's gossip. And I just got to get... Start telling for old Robert a joke in that preacher. He likes a good part. He'll say, Lord, please forgive me for what I'm about to receive.
Well, sir, I tell you, that's good territory out down there.
Yeah, it's easy, isn't it?
Trenton and Chiefland.
Trenton, Chiefland,
Cross City.
Fanning Spring, Old Town, Water Creek.
If I had, you know, like you, if I'd like him, I'd want to keep in touch with them, too. I wouldn't move off somewhere else.
I don't move off, just ramble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody says, you know everybody done. I said, yeah, I do, but that ain't where the, that's not what makes it tough. They all know me, too.
I do make it rough.
Yeah.
Ho. Sure does get dark late, don't get late early, though. I mean, get... You know, sneaking in there, getting him another smoke.
Yeah, that old breakfast coffee to keep hanging around. Keep
breakfast coffee.
Yeah, keep after.
Well, they're not going to give me the trunk key, so I'll go. You got plenty of butter beans, is it?
We don't have butter beans. We might find some. I
don't
know, we've got some squash, maybe.
I mean, what's his name? Cecil.
Hardy.
How about okra?
No, he's got all that. He didn't get all that.
Yeah.
Didn't get it.
No, he gave a few beets.
Some beets.
And
all
about
that.
Three carrots.
Oh, enough okra to fry.
But he's got enough.
Who has?
He's
yeah. Selling that, though. I go out there, I'd have to pay for it. That's I'll think y'all out there. How old's old Cecil? I can remember them parties. How old's old Cecil?
He's been there, he said, 40 years.
Says, you know, a pair of skimpy shorts, and he'll just load your car up, and then I'll be there. He can still dream. He'll do you no good, but old reprobate, I can remember them parties.
Well, he's got, I tried to, one time I thought I'd see where his children were. Why, hell, he got children all over this United States.
Yeah.
I got so confused. I brought it up. He got a boy in the appliance business, makes $20,000 a year down at Ocala.
Yeah.
And then he keeps going, you see. And you just wish
that's
he'd run out of youngin'.
That's them to speak of.
Yeah.
After you get into them that he don't speak of. He'll tell it.
Oh, no.
He mentioned several.